Thank you, brother and sister there. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and I just want to say a couple words to the fathers, and not just the fathers, but men in general. You know, we're getting the bad rap these days, I think. Jim McBride's not here, but I want to thank Jim for the last prayer meeting we had at breakfast. He spoke about a book that The War on Men today. And because of his inviting me to the Delaware Family Council meeting back a couple months ago, I bought three of those books, and I've sent them to a couple of young men that are in desperate need, and one of them has been really blessed by the book. I hope the rest of them are too as they read it, and I hope they'll read it. But I just wanted to, in the second chapter of that book, seeing it's Father's Day, it's talking about, of course, how the woke culture is really hitting on the men today and how masculinity is under attack, and we certainly don't want to rule over our families with an iron fist. We want to love them, be loving fathers, and that's one thing we want to see today, a good example of a good father. But under chapter 2, that it says it's why men are struggling today, and I looked under that, and they put a quote from C.S. Lewis, and I'll just let you think about this one sentence. It's a quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, "We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst." Just think about it. We laugh at honor today and we find traitors in our midst. Men, we need to stand up. And Doug, thank you so much for that message and song. It was a blessing today. Joshua chapter 14. If you all would stand, if you are able, if you stand, and we're going to read the God's word in chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. And this is Caleb speaking. We're going to talk about Caleb this morning. But he says this, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And they brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord will be with me, and then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Let's pray. Father God, we need to hear from you today. We need your words. We need your heart. We need your healing. And we need your forgiveness. I pray for every dad, every man here, every man. We honor men today. We're so thankful for the women that make us, that allow us to be who we are. But Lord, we praise you today for your grace and your mercy in our lives. Bless the word, and that you might move in our hearts today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's some of you here today, I know, that are having difficulties in life, and You say, Pastor, I don't know if I can make it another day. I don't know how much longer I can make it. But Caleb is speaking to us this morning in this passage. And Caleb could have had probably the piece, you know, the piece of land that was right over near there and had a little stream going by it. And he said, I'm just going to go over there and plant my garden. I'm 85 years old, Lord, and I'm just going to rest a while. But he didn't. See, he and Joshua were the only ones out of 12 spies that had faith in God to deliver them to the promised land. If we could ask Caleb what his secret was for spiritual success, I think he could give us three principles this morning we're going to look at that he lived by. And the first one is, the first secret he had, he said he might say that every day and in everywhere I went, I looked for the power of God. Second, I think I not only looked for the power of God, but I looked and I lived for the promises of God. And third, he might say, I longed for that mountain. It was because I longed for the presence of God in my life. Caleb's life could be sized up by these three principles. He was a man that had confidence in the power of God. He was a man that loved the promises of God. And he yearned for the very presence of God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this one thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me and in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dads out there, you're like me, some of you are older, but don't quit. Don't quit. You know, I almost quit. I had a rough time last few years there because, the devil has a way of planting tares in your church. And I was worn out. I was exhausted, emotionally more than physically. But God has given me some new life here with you folks. I really appreciate you so much. You don't know how much I appreciate you. And the opportunity to be able to share the Word of God with you on Sundays, it's a blessing to me. But don't quit. Let's don't quit. He goes back to the past. You know, older people, we like to talk about the past. And we don't need to live in the past, but there are blessings in remembering the past, especially if God is part of your past. And he says, Joshua, you remember this when I was 40 years old, when we went out and we saw those Anakim, those giants. You remember that? You remember the report that we gave to Moses? We gave the minority report, but the majority ruled. You know, the majority is not always right. You know that? The majority don't tithe. Most don't tithe. The majority of people don't attend church on Sundays. But that doesn't make it right. The majority of people don't walk with God. That doesn't make it right. Caleb says, remember, the majority said there were too many obstacles. We said there were too many opportunities. The majority said there's too much opposition. We said there was too much obedience to be done. Remember Joshua, the majority said, we have a little God and too many big giants. And we said, no. We've got a big God. And they're little. The giants will be little with him. In verse 7, Caleb says, I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. In the Hebrew, words that are there, it means that I brought a word that was my thorough conviction. Caleb says, this was my thorough conviction. I had a conviction that I saw the power of God in everything. Dad, do you see the power of God in your life this morning? Are you going through a heartache? Do you see God's power there through physical pain? Are you going through financial difficulties this morning, maybe? Can God do anything about these? Amen. You see, a wayward daughter going her own way. Can God do anything about that? I sure hope so. I got three daughters. You have a troubled marriage. Didn't God say, I am the God of all flesh? Is there anything that's too hard for me? Here's an 85-year-old man saying, I gave the minority report, and I stood up against the crowd, and I'd do it again. You know, some things I don't understand. The church has a lot of good going for it in many ways, especially this church. You have a lot of blessings in this church. I see a lot of love in this church. You know, love is the most important thing. Love is what brought Jesus to the cross. Love's our hope. And loving each other is good. But you have a lot of challenges ahead. You know, I heard you met Thursday night. I couldn't be here, but I was praying for you. And I heard it was a good meeting. Was it? Good meeting. That's great. Thank God for that. But see, we have to realize today that we're the minority. We're no longer a Christian nation. I think I can say that. But there's some good things happening. Have you noticed the largest baptism they ever had out in California? How many were in there? Do you remember? Did you see it in the news? 12,000 people got baptized back a few weeks ago. The largest that's ever been recorded. What's going on? What's the Bible say? In the latter days, I'll pour out my spirit. I'm not saying this is the last day or anything like that, but I've been looking for it for 70-some years. It takes a big man. It takes courage. Courageous men, women, teens, to stand up when the river of life is flowing all downhill. To stand up for Jesus and not be ashamed of the gospel. It takes a person with convictions. And you know when you start compromising, and you know when your convictions start running low. You know in your heart when it happens. And Caleb says it took a lot of courage to stand up against the other 10 spies. But we gave the minority report. At Kadesh Barnea, Caleb stood up for God. There was a pastor in Germany, you probably know this story, that got put in prison by the Nazis. And he told this story. He said, first the Nazis came for the communists. But I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then the Nazis came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. And then the Nazis came for the trade unionists, but I wasn't a trade unionist. And then the Nazis came for the Catholics, but I wasn't a Catholic. I was a Protestant, and I didn't speak up. And then they came for me. And there wasn't anybody left to speak up. Is there anybody left to speak up for biblical marriage today, a man and a woman? Is anybody going to speak up for the elderly? That's the next target. I sure hope so. It takes courage. It takes fortitude. This is what God was called us to do. And everywhere we go, we look for the promises of God. It takes courage to go against the flow, against the culture that we live in. You can't wholly follow the Lord without holiness. Look at verse 8. He talks about his obedience, but I wholly follow the Lord my God. And if you go back to the book of Numbers, it says six different times he wholly followed the Lord. The word wholly in the Hebrew there means I closed the gap between me and the Lord. It's a term that's almost like a hunter going after his prey, and he's closing in on the game. And he says, I'm 85 years old, but I'm closing the gap between me and my God. Just like David said in Psalm 63, verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, close behind God. Dad, is there anybody here this morning? I don't want you to raise your hand, but would you admit to yourself I'm not wholly following the Lord. Pastor, I'm a follower, but I'm following from a distance. If you follow too far back, you will quit looking for the power of God in your life. Caleb, every limb, every muscle, every cell was sold out to the Lord. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you sold out to Jesus this morning? Caleb, what kept you going, Caleb? Pastor, I just looked for the power of God. And the power of God brought obedience and it brought inheritance to me. Look at verse 9. He talks about an inheritance. And you remember what Moses said? If we sell out to God, surely the land there whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. Dads, there's a world out there and they don't have the answers. When you get your fill of the world and you find out that drugs or alcohol or sex or money or fancy cars or boats, none of it works. And you're empty and you're tired and you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe it's time to let God have your life. The world is coming apart and the devil's pulling nails as fast as he can. You see a family that puts God first and the world will begin to notice that. And there's something different about that family. And Caleb says, there's an inheritance for me and for my kids. And I looked for the power of God. And what else can we learn from Caleb this morning? Well, he says, I live for the promises of God. In verse 10, look at verse 10. He reminds Joshua that the Lord has kept him alive all these years. And when the other 10 spies are gone, the majority are gone, but we're still here. Joshua and Caleb are the only spies that went into the promised land. Do you know that? Only once. All the other 10 had to perish. Dads, God has kept you alive for a purpose this morning. You don't just live to eat. You don't just live to take vitamins. I take a lot of vitamins, by the way. I'm about out, Sherry. I need to order some more. We live because God says we live. Caleb knew he was alive for a reason. You're alive today, every one of you here, for a reason. You know, when you get older, you start wondering what the reason is. I believe God still has a reason for me to be here. Do you believe that in your life? When you get up in the morning, do you say, God, what do we got for me today? He had a promise to claim and time is running out and God has a promise, has a purpose for your life and we're here for a purpose for such a time as this. God may be raising you up this morning for a very special task. I was just listening here and there this morning. And you know, this was really a good morning. I got prayed with by two deacons. That must have been a good meeting Thursday night. Two different times. I loved it. But see, God has a task for us. He has a task for this church. Do you believe that? Do you believe you've been here 10 years for a reason? Do you believe there's a greater reason than the 10 years that passed? The future's bright. Oh, I know. There's problems. There's challenges. But you have Jesus. Don't run away from God and His purpose for you. God didn't give up on me. I don't want to bore you, but I had at least three times that I faced death over the years, when I was 20, in my 20s, and when I was in my 57, had a brain tumor, and the doctors were very surprised at how well I was doing, how well I did, that I came out of it without paralysis and all. I mean, I have much to thank God for. And you know what? I'm not special because I got healed. Some of you don't believe in healing. I know I did at times of me, I question, Does God do that way? You know, I went to Lancaster Bible College, sometime I'll tell you about some of the doctrines that I had and what I have now. God has a way of teaching you things through life and through the Bible. I'm so glad God didn't give up on me. Sometimes it's hard to wait on God. Some of you have been waiting a long time for a child, son, a daughter, to give their heart to Christ. A brother, a sister. Don't quit praying. I thank God for those that prayed for me. When you've lost a husband, nothing's happened when you're praying for a lost husband. It's hard to wait on God. And Caleb says, Joshua, remember what God said through Moses 45 years ago. And I don't have to wait any longer. God made you a promise years ago, and you are obedient to Him. You don't have to worry about how it comes out. God's promises are true. Caleb having to wait on God didn't bother him a bit. And if the automatic door at the grocery store doesn't come open fast enough, we get upset. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Caleb was in the wilderness for 45 years, waiting, with 2.5 million grumbling, complaining people. You feel like you've been there? Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the spies that wanted to go into the promised land, and they had to wait 45 years. 2.5 million people. Man, I bet their porta spots were really running like crazy. But Joshua and Caleb didn't have a problem waiting because they believed God. Sometimes we jump ahead of God. Like the prodigal son, you know, he couldn't wait for his inheritance. Caleb understood something that others didn't. He understood Philippians chapter 3, that our citizenship is in heaven. He understood Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on the things on earth. They hadn't been written yet, but he believed them anyway. God allowed him to believe that. Every day, they're all gathering manna. And old Caleb, he's dreaming of the great big grapes that he saw. God had promised him in the promised land. When you have desert days, like old Caleb, wandering out there in the wilderness with all the unbelievers, and you're ready to give up, be like Caleb. Just remember where you're going and whose you are. We're not going to be there much longer. Be like Caleb. He was headed to the promised land, and he had no doubt that God's promises were true. You know, Christians aren't welcome here anymore. You noticed that? There was a time that we were revered. There was a time that pastors were revered. Not anymore. Of course, I tell you, many of them, the devil has tripped up. I tell you, it grips me to much is given, much is required. And I don't stand here without trembling before a mighty God. The devil will do everything he can to trip you up and to drag the name of Christ through the mud to the point that I don't even call myself a Christian anymore. I call myself a follower of Jesus because the word Christian has been dragged through the mud so much. The crazy Christians, they just wish we'd get out of here. Bless God, one day soon we're gonna. Aren't we? And the world will be glad we're gone and we're a thorn in their flesh. Look at verse 11. Caleb says, "I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me." Caleb says, "I'm ready for the battle." Most of us would say, "Joshua, how about giving me a nice little place right over here with a stream so I can just relax. But not Caleb. Look at verse 12. He says, Joshua, I want Hebron. Give me this mountain. Joshua, are you sure? I mean, there are Anakim there. The giants are there. Don't you remember? Therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For you heard him in that day. The Anakim were there. And that the cities were great and fenced. And the Lord will be with me. And shall be able to. I shall be able to drive them out just as the Lord has promised me. You got some giants? Need driving out this week? Here's Caleb, 85 years old, and he's not relying on his own strength. He's always had faith that God would bring him through. And in your problems today, you do one of two things. You look at the situation, and you either maximize God and minimize the problem, or you minimize God and maximize the problem, like the rest of those living in the wilderness. When you're walking with God, it's like being in an airplane looking down on earth and all of your problems look small. If you're not walking close to God, if you're not like old Caleb, you look like an ant looking up in an oak tree. Your problems overshadow everything that you do. I'll tell you this little story. The lady had never been on an airplane. She's an older lady, and she was really frightened and scared. But she went on there with her daughter, and they're sitting in the airplane, and she's all tense and stuff. And she looks down in the window, and she's, oh, my goodness, look at all those people down there. They look like ants. And her daughter says, Mom, they are. We haven't taken off yet. When you're by yourself looking up, the problems look real big. But when you're walking with God, it's like being there with Him, looking down, that all the problems look small. He can take care of every problem you have this morning. When you get older like me, and you have more battles to fight, you begin to fight fear. You know, the devil loves to use fear. My mother was a very fearful person. She taught me that. I had to overcome that. It took a long, long time. We don't have to fear this morning. If you're God's child and you love Him with all your heart, you have no fear. He says one day He's going to make everything right. I mean everything. All the pain, all the sorrow, all the weeping, all the wrong things will be made right. Caleb, what kept you going? Pastor, I just looked for the power of God everywhere I went. I lived for the promises of God. And then, Pastor, I longed for the presence of God. God's given me strength. I'm ready to do battle. You think because you're a grandparent, you should quit fighting for your grandchildren? Quit praying for them? I've done my part, Pastor. I'm not going to sing anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm getting too old. And look, I know there's physical things you can't do. There is true. How many of here can't pray? Hold your hand up. Okay. Caleb said, give me those giants, those Anakims, and God will make them bread for me. Bread makes you stronger. You know why God puts giants in your life? So you get stronger. I want that mountain. Giants are nothing to my God. There's a song, I Want That Mountain. Do you remember it? Help me out. I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Oh, the mountain the Lord has given me. You didn't help me. That's my only solo you'll ever get. I practiced all week long. I was off key, I know, whatever. K- Caleb would have sung that if it had been written. Are you ready to take that mountain this morning? You say, Pastor, our marriage is too big a mountain. My kids, I don't know if they'll ever come back to Jesus. Pastor, my problem's just too big. See, if you look for the power of God and you live for the promises of God, and then in closing, if you long for the presence of God, do you know why Caleb wanted Hebron? Caleb knew what Hebron meant. The word Hebron means fellowship. That mountain was a special mountain. It's 3,040 feet high in elevation, above sea level. It has wells and springs all over that mountain. Have you ever looked at a mountain, went somewhere and you saw the little falls coming here and falls coming? That's what that mountain looked like. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. He wanted that mountain because he's saying, when I go to that mountain, that's where the giants are. Yeah, they're there. But that's where God is. He'd look at those falls. He'd look at those streams. And the beauty of that mountain. He said, man, that's where God is. That's where I want to be. See, Hebron was the burial place, if you don't know it or not. It was the burial place of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Rebekah and Leah. And Joshua blessed him and gave him Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And so that, therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. God gave him rest and God gave him reward. See, oh Caleb, he's so proud. He's so proud to be there. In chapter 15, it said Caleb went into Hebron and he took names, three sons of Anak, and he drove them out at 85 years old. It's time for us not to retire, but it's time for us to get excited about God again. The presence of God. I just want to give you this last verse and we close. Look at verse 14. I didn't read it on purpose when we had this reading, but look at verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Today there's a mosque there, and it's a holy place. The Patriarch's Tomb, Patriarchal Tomb, they have several names for it. It's very, very huge, elaborate. It's covered with gold and embroidered textiles. The Muslims have put in all over. It's a holy place because it's Abraham's tomb, and you know how they, and the Jewish people are only allowed to go seven steps down in, and they have to turn around and come back. They're not allowed to go down to Abraham's tomb and all these other tombs. And it's a sacred spot for Christians and Muslims and for Jews. It's Caleb. It's called Caleb's Mountain. In Genesis chapter 23:15, Abraham paid 400 shekels for it. He bought it. So don't be saying, well, God shouldn't have done that to those poor people. Run them out, those poor Anak, those poor giants. Because God had paid 400, because Abraham paid for it. And then in Genesis 13, in chapter 15, God gave it to Abraham 2,000 years ago. So they didn't run them off of God's, you know, their property. It was God's property. You know, that's the way it is. The devil tries to take over our property. Let's, if you're able to stand, I'm going to stand, and we're just going to pray. And we're going to sing, if the musicians would come, hymn number 443, Open My Eyes That I Might See. Lord, open our eyes. Let us see that those giants are small. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're going to close with this hymn to open our eyes that we might see. Show us, Lord, your power. Show us, Lord, your promises. Show us our inheritance in you. We love you, Lord Jesus, this morning. I pray for this church. I pray for this church, New Harvest Church. Lord, I pray that everyone here will not be discouraged, but will be encouraged today because you are the head of this church, and it will not fail as long as you are the head. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.